The 9 till noon show on Highland Radio.
Welcome back to the second hour of the 9 till noon show. It's Michaela Clark in this morning for Greg Hughes. We're going to have a look at some of your comments coming in from our discussions earlier. As a bus driver, I have had to ask people on a regular basis to move, and the abuse I get is ridiculous. We need more Garda enforcement. Sometimes something as simple as a no parking sign will do the job. It's not rocket science. As Bernard was saying earlier, there's no signage up, but says that this is an issue that has been ongoing for a number of years now. So surely, you know, signage could have been put up before now. There needs to be more parking in Inishowen. It's a nightmare for workers trying to get parked in towns as well. That man is not correct. The people who abandoned their cars are, of course, at fault. These are ignorant, selfish people who simply don't care about anyone but themselves. But ultimately, Gardaí are to blame. Putting markings on the road won't help unless there is enforcement. These cars should be taken away to a compound with a hefty charge for reclaiming. It is illegal to obstruct a public road, and it is as simple as that. Yeah, I did mention it to Councillor Martin McDermott was on as well, that, you know, there are, say, on slipways and at piers and harbours, the yellow boxes, and there's signage up to trying to deter people from parking there. But he says, you know, you can't police that, and Gardaí can't be there all the time. But there obviously does need to be something done about it. It is a serious issue, and you do see posts all the time about it. Hi, was in Achill Island. There was a steward checking and not allowing any parking that would block the road. Very sharp employed by Mayo County Council. But yeah, if we knew, you know, it's not going to be every day that these areas are going to be busy, but definitely in the sunshine, you know, we know that there's going to be a large volume of people travelling to beaches, and, you know, it's not every beach that there's issues at, so it wouldn't take that many people to maybe police the areas that are, you know, as Bernard was highlighting there, that are subject to these parking, these motorists who are parking haphazardly. Why does the guards not issue fixed fines on these cars? Problem solved. Clamp them, another says. Simple. Hi, why do business managers blindly assume everyone is on Facebook? It is not acceptable to use this platform as the only method of advertising and informing the public. We did kind of discuss this yesterday as well, but I suppose, you know, otherwise, what is the, how are people going to know, given the situation with Bernard? You know, it was a real time sensitive issue, and just all of a sudden they weren't able to facilitate that service in the Struve area. So I suppose, you know, they didn't really have an option because of the immediacy of it to cancel the services. This parking issue also happens in Maher Ward Beach, which makes it impossible for emergency vehicles to go through. That is the serious issue. If there was an emergency, if someone got into difficulty, unfortunately, in the water, if there was a fire somewhere, you know, Bernard, the last time I think he was on with Greg, was saying that it is his fear if an emergency did arise, you know, there's nobody could get through. Clamp the cars, take them away, and you should have to pay €200 to get them back. That's the only way that we can stop cars parking. Relating to my discussion with Pádraig Tobin earlier, and we were discussing Young Harvey and Deputy Tobin's calls for Simon Harris to resign over this. Typical Ireland, this listener says, it always takes a death, in this case the death of a child, for a public discourse and political debate surrounding Ireland's healthcare system, which is failing the country so badly. No excuses, another says, for Simon Harris, who was minister during the cervical smear scandal, the COVID debacle and the scoliosis situation. How can the government claim we are a rich country, yet leave children to suffer in excruciating pain for years on end? Simon Harris must resign if he has any morals whatsoever, but Micheál Martin is into the neck of this also. After all, he is Taoiseach of this country. They should all be retired if they have any heart, which I don't think they have, claims that listener. I'm on the waiting list. I did phone up the waiting list because I am in a lot of pain in my back. The waiting list told me the waiting list department has no say with it. I presume that is in relation to someone needing spinal surgery there. Put more resources in place. Our country is run by incompetent people who couldn't run a bath. Harris should be long gone. He was also in charge of the cervical cancer scandal. He is not fit to be in charge. Another listener says the scoliosis news doesn't only rock the parents waiting on surgery for their kids. I can only imagine how they are feeling, but it also rocks the confidence of any parent with a child with scoliosis, whether awaiting surgery or getting treatment to hopefully prevent surgery. God love that poor family. My heart goes out to them as a mother and as a mother of a child with scoliosis. Lastly, for now, Simon Harris is a little late on requesting a full multidisciplinary report on the timeline of care provided to Harvey. Surely if he had seen to the operation happening, we might not be here today. That's all your comments. If you have any other comments in relation to those topics or anything else that's coming up, make sure to give us a call on 074 91 25000. You can text or WhatsApp 086 60 25000, and you can also email comments@highlandradio.com. Well, it's a big weekend here in Letterkenny as Summer Sessions 2025 is set to kick off. I'm joined now in studio by Shane Barr, who is the organiser of the festival. Good morning, Shane.
How are you, Michaela?
Good. So it's a busy week.
Yeah, there's a lot happening down there, Michaela. It started there 10 days ago, and yeah, a lot going on. So yeah, leading up to tomorrow evening start.
Yeah, and I'd say there's so much goes into this. You know, there's so much in relation to preparing the site and then I suppose the acts. How long does that take from when you start?
The event management team started there on Tuesday week, so that's the 5th maybe or the 4th, mm-hmm. just after the bank holiday. So it's pretty much a 13-14 day build.
Yeah.
It's a large site and a hell of a lot to put together for an event of that scale and the level of delivery and what's involved in it for the punters to get a good experience.
Yeah, and just even driving past it there, it looks even bigger than last year.
Yeah, it's a slightly bigger tent, same capacity but bigger production. Mm-hmm. Bigger stage, bigger sound, bigger lights, obviously bigger acts, so all that comes with that and the requirements that come with that. More flags, mm-hmm. VIP bar going in this year.
Okay.
A little announcement coming this evening for those that have purchased tickets to upgrade potentially to VIP. And that's something we've been getting a lot of through the social, so it's something we wanted to deliver, but in year three as opposed to year two, so it looks like it's going to happen now. So a lot of different things and more upgrades, if you like, to give the punter a better experience.
Yeah, and that's great, building on last year, that you know you can take away what you've learned from that and see what people want and just give them a better experience this year.
Yeah, there's a great team involved, you know, there's a great management team involved there and loads of experience at the highest level and production team involved and everybody, a lot of experience, and that helps. Mm-hmm. But yeah, making it bigger every year is important, and not just for the festival, but the knock-on effect it has locally for the tourism and the economic impact in Letterkenny, but throughout Donegal, there's people staying all over the county.
Mm-hmm. And how many are you expecting?
Over 25,000 is what we'll be attending over the two weekends. And it's a great boost. We're working closely with everybody between the council, Go Visit Letterkenny have been mm-hmm. very helpful, and the Chamber of Commerce there. And Falch Ireland, we spoke to them and we want to expand our plans with them. And a lot of, I don't want to leave anybody out, but all the authorities, the guards, fire brigade, the ambulance, everybody has been fantastic. And it's great for everybody to hopefully benefit, and mm-hmm. that's what it will do, you know.
And it's great to have something of this scale in Letterkenny. You know, we see big festivals, but so many people have to travel, and given where we are in Ireland, it's quite a trek for people. So this is something right in their doorstep.
It is, absolutely, and it's something that maybe the fan is more used to travelling to Dublin or Belfast for, you know, so to have Letterkenny, to have the acts that are coming to Letterkenny and put on the spectacle for... A lot of it's about the experience. You can bring the act, but it's about what you provide for the customer going in the door. So it's nothing dissimilar to what you would see at Belsonic, or if you're going to St. Anne's Park or Malahide Castle in Dublin.
And even encouraging others to travel here to see what Letterkenny can offer.
Well, that's a massive part of it, you know. Looking at the attendees last night and the night before there for all the shows, you know, and we've got great support from Donegal Tourism as well, mm-hmm. in terms of the Donegal County Council section of tourism. They've been fantastic and they've given us sponsorship or funding towards the event. But looking at the attendees last night, they're coming from all over, Glasgow, London, Switzerland.
That's brilliant.
Berlin, you know, obviously a lot of people coming, but just a few places that stuck in my head there when I was talking to you.
Yeah, no, that's brilliant. And I suppose it's the acts that you have on the bill that are attracting so many people. It's amazing lineup.
Absolutely. Look, the acts will attract the people, and what's tried to be done is just a bit of variety so that mm-hmm. there's something for everybody. So tomorrow night, the Jax Jones, Finn Kern, Kimmich and Levi Herron is very much that 16 plus to 25. And then the Saturday night being the Saw Doctors, a mm-hmm. huge one. That's pretty, there's still tickets available, but it'll be sold out come the night, you know.
Yeah.
There's about 150 or 200 tickets left.
And anybody that hasn't made any of their gigs elsewhere, you know, they can get on there.
I seen them at Fairview Park in June. In Dublin, and it was incredible. I had never seen them live before.
Yeah.
But obviously, because they were on an extended break there, and I hadn't seen them before that. But the place was absolutely bouncing, and really, really, really good to see the age. You know, there was people there from 18, 19, 20, all the way up to 60, 70. Mm. So they kind of go across all the ages, and as well as them, then into next weekend you have the Human League, Nick Kershaw, and the Undertones on Thursday, which is an 80s bill, and that's attracting or giving something for that audience. And then the two picture this gigs on Friday and Saturday, they're sold out. That's, you know, probably you could say 16 to 50 in terms of age range. And then the Sunday, the Memories is a throwback to the 90s pop and dance, so that's 21 plus. So it's trying to put something on for everybody, and it's trying to get that right. And look, we're happy with where we're at, and it's going to be a great boost for Letterkenny and for Donegal in terms of the people that are coming in and spending their money in hotels, bars, restaurants, pharmacies, everywhere, because they'll need everything when they're here, you know, so that's important.
And it's brilliant seeing, you know, there's nearly a theme every day, as you mentioned, somebody's into the Undertones, but there's so many then of that genre that, you know, you can go for the entire day. You don't have to just go for one gig.
That's right. And I suppose the three acts that are playing on that 80s bill, the Human League, Nick Kershaw and the Undertones, they're three huge names in their own right that play large venues. So to have the three of them on in the one night, it's nearly three concerts in one at €54. So it's great value. That's one I'm looking forward to myself, and there's huge excitement about that one. That's next weekend, next Thursday. So we'll get this weekend over us, and then we'll get ready then for next weekend, because it's only Friday, Saturday this weekend, and it's Thursday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday next weekend. So really exciting, as I say, for the town. The place is absolutely buzzing, and it's there's great positivity towards it, and people coming to spend their weekends in Letterkenny, and that'll be great for everybody.
And in terms of getting to summer sessions, you know, there's bus routes as well on, isn't there, this year?
Yeah, so last year we were very mindful, it being the first year, that it was really important with the traffic management plan and given everything that goes on in Letterkenny and how difficult it is anyway with traffic, we were delighted that it worked really, really well. Everybody was really, really happy with it. Many people said they wouldn't actually know there was a concert even on. And what we done was we used the park and ride or the park and shuttle system. So we'll be using that again this year. The Dry Arch Business Park down there with the McGettigan's buses, the TK Maxx retail park at the back there, and the Gavin Bowl up there at the business, the Mountaintop Business Park, or the Pine Hill Business Park at the Mountaintop. So they're the park and shuttles, and we'd like to thank them for working with us. They've been fantastic, and it worked really well last year, so it'll be working again. So the shuttles will be Saturday for the Saw Doctors, Thursday for the Human League, Friday and Saturday for Picture This, and Sunday for Memories. So tomorrow night it'll be more buses coming from all over the county dropping off.
Yeah,
they're not really a park audience. Mm-hmm. They're more dropping off on buses, so they won't be in place tomorrow, but from Saturday on that'll be operating. And it's really important we keep the traffic to a minimum, and that's what we've done last year. It worked really well, and working closely with the guards. The event management team have been working really closely.
And that's so important for residents here in Letterkenny too, who maybe aren't attending the festival.
Absolutely, and it's really, really important that we're mindful of that, you know, between traffic. The events finish at 11:30, which is really, really important as well. Many go on later in other parts of the country, but it's important you respect the neighbours. We also want to push all the attendees into the town at 11:30 to ensure that the town gets that economic impact too, as well as beforehand when they're going for food and drinks, but also after the event. It's really important that they go in and we get that boost for the town afterwards as well as before. So the 11:30 finish works well and keeps everybody happy, and it's important when you're doing something like this that you have everybody rowing the boat the same direction as such, and that's what's happened. It's been really, really positive and it's a great buzz and everybody is really happy, you know.
Yeah, and in terms of anybody with mobility issues, there's measures in place for them too.
Yeah, so the wheelchair access this year, we have very grateful, the school there, Letterkenny Educate Together, just next door. We're very grateful to them for the provision of their car park, which will be used for staff and wheelchair accessibility ticket holders only. There will be a list on the gate for that, so that's very strict, and we advise anybody that's not got that ticket or is not staff not to go there because it'll cause traffic issues. So there are no parking in place. That's very important, apart from wheelchair users. So that car parking will be at the Educate Together school, and we're very thankful to Anya and all the team in there for that. So, and then obviously the disability access platform then is located at the back of the marquee, which is specifically just for them. And again, it'll be they'll receive a wristband upon entry once the ticket is provided, and obviously they've had to provide blue badge evidence and the different evidence as well as blue badge that they can provide that ticks that box for them to be eligible. I'm not involved in that, but that's what happens, I believe. So so then people will get access to the wheelchair accessibility ramp, which will be a wee bit higher up.
Brilliant.
And they sit there with their carer. So yeah, so that's really important that everybody has the opportunity to enjoy the events regardless whether they're in a wheelchair or they're not.
And you've really thought about everything in relation to accommodating people, but even I'm just looking at, you know, the memories event, isn't that what you call it, on this Sunday, do you know, boutique food vendors and cocktail bars and karaoke, like it sounds like such a great day out.
Yeah, that's a really, really big one. That starts at 3:00 and it finishes a wee bit earlier on the last day, but it's a real throwback to the 90s, if you like, with Cascada.
Yeah, I remember my youth. Bewitched, yeah, yeah. DJ Sammy.
Yeah, and Bewitched is a really good one. It's a poppy one. Everybody likes to sing their
songs.
I saw
them last weekend, actually, at the Farmer's Bash. I would highly recommend them. They're brilliant.
Very good, very good. So, look, it's shorter sets, because there's obviously a hell of a lot of acts that day. So they'll all come on for 30 minutes, 35 minutes each.
Yeah, and that's plenty too.
Cascada and Bewitched will do a wee bit longer, but what it does is they've all got three or four really big hits.
Yeah.
So it makes it a full day of songs that everybody knows, sung live by the actual acts themselves. So no, that's a really exciting day, and hopefully, as I say, the weather's given fantastic. So we're really, really looking forward to getting the shorts on and getting the t-shirts on, and we just encourage people to wear their sunscreen and look after themselves.
And how soon after this is finished do you start working on next year? Or maybe you've already thought about that, have you?
No, well, look, as I say, you know, I am just one of the people that are helping as such. There's large companies involved in the festival. But a lot of the planning happens, you know, 9, 10, 11 months out, depending, you know. So that, you know, we'll definitely try and get over the first this year, Michaela, in terms of this weekend and next weekend. But as I say, it's been really, really positive for the town and for all the
huge
businesses.
Effort goes into it.
So it's something we want to continue over the many, many years to come. And as I say, the stakeholders, you know, the Donegal Tourism, the council, you know, Falch Ireland, really, really important to make this happen going forward because we believe it's got huge potential. And that it's something that Letterkenny, but more importantly, Donegal needs in terms of large-scale events.
And even the entire Northwest.
In terms of, yes, absolutely. So most, like a lot of the people coming to the gigs come from Sligo, Donegal, Derry, but obviously a hell of a lot come from outside of that as well. Look, as you say, it's something we want to keep going. It's got great potential, and we're really looking forward now to sitting down and talking to the people we need to talk to about going to the next level in terms of the stakeholders, because it ticks our boxes in terms of tourism, local economy, and providing a platform for artists, not just big artists. We've got obviously more local artists opening up and playing on the bill as well. But it's that economic impact, hopefully, and the boost that it can give for the other stakeholders that play that part in getting people to boost the tourism. So we're looking forward to working really closely with them and taking it to the next level. And we just want to thank them all and everybody involved, the authorities that we've been working with, because without all of them pulling together and working with us so
it
positively,
be as seamless.
It wouldn't be as seamless. So a lot of planning has been done by many different people, and we want to just thank all of them.
Yeah. Well, amazing acts coming up now over the next 2 weeks. The Saw Doctors, the Human League, Picture This, Bewitched, DJ Sammy. That's just a few. So where can people find out more information or see what tickets are available left?
Yeah, so www.summer-, which is the wee line in the middle, sessions.ie. So www.summer-sessions.ie. But if you hop on the social media there in terms of Summer Sessions on Facebook and Instagram, and all
the
different things, all the posters and links and everything are there. But a one-stop shop is very simple in terms of the landing page on the website. You just go into it and it shows you the six events that are coming up.
And
you can just straight link into tickets.
So that's perfect. Great. Shane Barr, good luck for this weekend and next. It sounds like a great time. So that is Shane Barr, organiser of Summer Sessions 2025. Thank you so much for calling up this morning.
Thanks, Michaela.
So Palliative Care Week 2025 is an annual campaign dedicated to raising public awareness and understanding of palliative care and its many benefits. It's taking place from September the 7th to 13th, and this year's theme is palliative care, living for today, planning for tomorrow. I'm joined now by Karen Charney, CEO of the All-Ireland Institute of Hospice and Palliative Care. Good morning to you, Karen.
Good morning.
And Karen, I suppose Palliative Care Week is hugely important because there's so many people out there that maybe don't know of the services that are available because they've never had first-hand experience of needing it.
Yeah, and what we find is that there are many misconceptions about palliative care, and people aren't aware of the breadth of supports that are available to them and that could benefit them or a loved one when diagnosed with a life-limiting condition. So throughout the week, we want to encourage people across the island to learn more about palliative care and how it seeks to positively support people with life-limiting conditions, putting the person at the centre of the care and supporting their physical, social, emotional and spiritual needs.
And what kind of support then, in a bit more detail, do people benefit from?
So I suppose for someone with an advanced, with a life-limiting condition, and this can be someone with advanced cancer, advanced heart, lung, kidney disease or neurological conditions such as dementia, MND, multiple sclerosis. So a wide range of conditions can benefit from palliative care, but the types of care can be, for example, thinking about physical care, it can be supporting with managing complex symptoms such as pain and other symptoms that people will have. On the social side, I suppose it's supporting people with, looking at what benefits they might be, what supports are available to them, be that benefits, be that carers, be that, the range of supports. I suppose on the emotional supports, obviously it's a very difficult time for people when they're diagnosed with a life-limiting condition, and that the teams, the palliative care professionals are there to support people emotionally. And I suppose finally on spiritual support, spiritual needs, supporting people to thinking about the spiritual needs, it could be religious, so it could be thinking about those issues.
And I suppose the theme for this year, living for today, planning for tomorrow, that is so important in terms of this kind of care because, you do need to, I suppose, try and take some positives. So, if in this moment, say, we're speaking about today, living for today, that, make the most of the situations and the time that you do feel a bit better.
Yeah, we chose the theme because we want to emphasise how palliative care enables people to have a good quality of life in the here and now, as you just said. And whilst we also want to support people to think about making plans for the future, including having discussions with their loved ones about where they'd like to be cared for, so thinking through those care things. I suppose thinking of Like living for today is the theme, thinking of, making the most of the here and now, thinking of someone I'm in touch with, one of my friends, thinking through, how palliative care is supporting that person to, make the most of the here and now, maybe thinking of, like my friend actually has recently got married since he had the diagnosis of a life-limiting condition, and supporting him to have those discussions with his family members.
And do you think that there's still a lot of people out there that don't realise the support that is available in terms of palliative care, that a lot of people are missing out?
Yeah, I think those misconceptions about palliative care still exist, and that's understandable as well. But people often, when they hear the term palliative care, they think of the end of life, mm-hmm. they think of the last days. But actually, palliative care can be available, can be a benefit for a number of up to a number of years. So one of our volunteers, for example, he was diagnosed with advanced cancer, and he accessed palliative care whilst in hospital. He'd had surgery. He was discharged into a hospice. He then returned home, and the community palliative care provided supports, and he's now been discharged for those services. But he knows that if and when the time comes, that those services will be available to him.
Yeah, there's so much support. And it's not just the patient themselves as well. You know, their families can seek support too.
Yeah, so for example, your listeners in Donegal, Donegal Hospice does provide supports to family members and to carers. And there's a lot of information and resources, including from our own website, thepalliativehub.com, that look to support family carers and family members with obviously adapting to their loved one having a life-limiting condition.
And that emotional support that you spoke about a bit earlier, I imagine that is so important because, you referenced your friend there being diagnosed. Sometimes when somebody receives news like that, it's very hard to see the wood through the trees and figure out how they're going to make the most of life or where they seek support and where they can help make themselves better.
Yeah, like obviously receiving that news is, let's face it, it's devastating. But I suppose it's what we look to do through Palliative Care Week is support raising awareness of the benefits of palliative care and where people can access it, but also signposting to available service, be that within Donegal Hospice or be it to other services, say the Irish Hospice Foundation with their wide range of services. And if people look at our adultpalliativehub.com, there's a wide range of services that we signpost to, which cover, accessing benefits to getting further, including through to bereavement support.
And there's a lovely competition as well as part of Palliative Care Week this year. And I suppose it's trying to highlight that you can live for today as well.
Yeah, we're having a photo competition this year. We love to do something new every year. So we've got a photo competition and we're asking people to capture what the theme means to them. So living for today, planning for tomorrow. And you can find further information on it on thepalliativehub.com. The photos will be hosted on our website, and there will be certificates and prizes awarded for the winning entries from both jurisdictions. So it'd be great if your listeners, if any budding photographers or just someone who's captured an image that they think and captures that theme.
And in terms of people seeking more information in relation to palliative care, is there much information locally, or does your website give details of local services as well?
Yeah, it does. So thepalliativehub.com will link you through to our suite of resources. But also, just to highlight Donegal Hospice during Palliative Care Week on Thursday the 11th of September at 6 o'clock. They're holding a walk, a Palliative Care Week walk to celebrate the week, and it'll be a walk from the hospice car park, you know, a 40 mm-hmm. to 50 minute walk, and there'll also be the opportunity to pause and for people to remember their loved ones and light a candle, and there'll be refreshments. So that's a great event that Donegal Hospice are running. Also, the clinical nurse specialists in palliative care in Donegal will be running drop-in sessions for the public and health professionals, where people can ask questions and meet the team. That'll be taking place during the week, and they're going to advertise that in the local primary care centres. We'll also be making information about that available on thepalliativehub.com, where we've got an events section where people can click on the different counties and see what's there. So we're adding to that all the time. So those events aren't currently on there, but they shortly will be. So and there's a lot of online events as well that are taking place during the week that your listeners will be able to take part in as well.
Great. Karen Shanley, CEO of the All-Ireland Institute of Hospice and Palliative Care, thank you so much for joining me this morning.
Highland Radio weather updates with McElhinney's. Get back to school sorted with all the essentials from school jumpers to shoes. Visit our kidswear department in store or shop online at McElhinney's.com today.
Today's weather, a mix of cloud and sunny spells with scattered showers. Some will be heavy. Drier conditions will gradually extend this evening. Highest temperatures of 19 to 24 degrees. Now I'm joined in studio by Joseph Gallagher, Heritage Officer with Donegal County Council. Good morning to you, Joseph. Good
morning, Michaela.
Very busy week ahead for yourselves.
Absolutely, yeah. No, we're really looking forward to it. So Heritage Week, like you said, starts on Saturday and runs until the following Sunday. And there's over, I think this morning there's 115 events taking place for Heritage Week, and most of them are free all across the week.
It's a great week, and we were just talking that it's great to have it as well just before the children go back to school, so there's loads to keep them occupied.
Yeah, I mean, it's part of European Heritage Open Days, and this year's theme is architecture and heritage. But in Ireland, we celebrate it over the course of a week rather than over a weekend, mm-hmm. which is most other European countries. So this year's theme in Ireland is exploring our foundations. So it's not just about our built heritage, it's also our natural heritage, our cultural heritage, our archaeological heritage. And like I said, the community groups and the individuals all around the county mm-hmm. and the heritage organisations around the county have really rose to the challenge and have organised a great programme of events.
And there's so many heritage sites, and as you mentioned, you know, the natural heritage here in Donegal, it's so widespread too.
Well, that's right, yeah. And Saturday, actually, the 23rd of August is Wild Child Day. So there's a particular day sort of given over to that to try and encourage sort of families and children to engage with our natural heritage as well. But as you'll see in the programme throughout the week, there's events taking place on various different themes to deal with our heritage.
Even I just literally am looking at the top one, Inishowen Secret Island. That sounds exciting.
That's right, yeah. I mean, the... Again, you'll have to go along to find out exactly what the secret is.
Yeah, you can't give it away.
Can't really give it away now. Again, for some of the events, including that one, booking is required. Okay. So again, we would encourage people to check out the website, heritageweek.ie. All the details are there, and it'll tell you sort of if there's booking required, and also kind of give you a little bit more detail about the events themselves. But yeah, there's some really intriguing titles, like, you know, kind of in there. And again, there's everything really. Like, I mean, there's built heritage open houses. So for example, on Saturday and Sunday of the opening weekend of Heritage Week, there's a lot of properties, historic properties that you normally wouldn't get access to that are open free of charge to the public. And again, in Donegal, again, because we're a rural county, we've kind of spread it out throughout the week. So there's heritage open doors throughout the week. And again, these are places, like I said, that you mightn't normally have access to, and you'll get to hear about the local stories from people sort of who really know about those places themselves. And then there's things like traditional skills and craft demonstrations. I know there's a demonstration on Church Lane on traditional skills here in Letterkenny. There's a whole range of guided walks all across the county. There's site visits, heritage site visits, field trips. There's exhibitions going on over the course of the week as mm-hmm. well. Talks and workshops, boat trips, bus tours. There's historical reenactments, like our Working Over By historical reenactment in the County Museum over a couple of days there during Heritage Week. There's
that launch events. That sounds great. Donegal Immigrants Working Lives in Scotland.
It's been great. Actually, we launched it there on the 11th of July, and it's running until January. So you actually have a chance to not only see it during Heritage Week, but also at other times. But there's a programme of events as well linked to it taking place in the County Museum over Heritage Week. But it's really been great because it looks at Donegal people who worked in Scotland from 1940 to 1990 and tells their story.
And so many people will know someone that's worked in Scotland.
Well, this is it. Like, you know, and again, because the stories, I mean, when we started out asking people about it, they said, oh, why do you want to know about that? Sure, everybody did that. Sort of my family did that. My neighbours did that. It's quite ordinary. But it's really the ordinariness that made it kind of universal.
Yeah.
And like you said, there's been such a tremendous response. People home sort of from Scotland have been visiting the exhibition. We've had people coming from other parts of Ireland to see the exhibition. And of course, lots of locals have come along as well because their family members have been there and some of them are featured in the exhibition as well.
Oh, that's so lovely. And that's their, you know, we're talking about heritage, that's their personal heritage as well, which is lovely that it's documented for years to come.
Yeah, and I think too that's one of the other things about Heritage Week is that a lot of these events during Heritage Week, they're organised by local people, they're telling the stories of kind of what happened locally as well, and the people are tremendously proud of their heritage. Yeah. They're enthusiastic as well, and that's great, like for people wanting to find out about their own locality, but also for visitors to the county, it's a great opportunity to come and engage with local people and to meet kind of local people and to hear the stories that normally you wouldn't find maybe in tourist brochures.
Yeah, and you see throughout the years that there is an increase in this and the interest in Heritage Week and I suppose heritage in general in Donegal.
Yeah, I mean every year we have new people and new groups organising events for Heritage Week. We have people that have been organising events for the past 20 years. Every year they organise events, not the same event, different events.
Yeah.
I mean they really try and tie it into the theme, or maybe it's a particular project that they're working on. So, I mean, we have, like I said, we have over 120 events usually taking place every week, every year for Heritage Week. And again, we're one of the counties with the highest number of Heritage Week events across the country as well. Like, you know, so I think it goes really to speak to the strength of the heritage sector really in the county. And like I said, a lot of these groups organise events on a voluntary basis and they use their own resources or perhaps they're funded by the Heritage Council or in some instances by Donegal County Council. We provide a little bit of seed funding for some of their projects as well. But they really rise to the challenge, you know, kind of for that and organise these events and put on a great programme.
And it's amazing looking through, you know, the schedule for the week. You don't realise how much heritage is in Donegal, how many different elements, like, you know, there's Try the Pipes in Donegal and there's just so much that when you actually sit down and think relates to everybody here in Donegal.
Well, that's it. Like, you know, and again, the programme is quite varied and I suppose it depends really what aspect of heritage that you're interested in. I would encourage people as well maybe to go and find out about an aspect of heritage maybe that maybe wouldn't normally be sort of what they're what they'd be interested in, because I think too sort of a lot of the events, because like for example a lot of there's a lot of field trips, for example, some people might go along, you know, maybe for health reasons, some people might go along for social reasons because their friends are going, some people might go along because they're interested in the subject matter, but maybe whatever reason you go for, you might come along, might come away with a much richer experience than you'd anticipated. So we'd encourage people sort of to get out there and to explore the different events that are taking place.
Yeah, no, definitely. Sounds great. There's something for everybody. Like there's children's events. And as you say, you know, you can go on a field trip. You can go away for the day. There's just so much. Where can people find out more information then, Joe?
Yeah, so I suppose the main portal would be the Heritage Week website, heritageweek.ie. If you go there, all the details are there. There's people can register events right up to the start of Heritage Week.
Okay.
So there might be sort of new events coming online in the next couple of days as well. So check that out. If there's any changes as well, it'll be posted on the website. If you go to the Donegal County Council website as well, there's details there. And also, for those people maybe who don't have access to the internet, there's a 4-page listing of the Heritage Week events in today's Donegal News.
Yeah.
So that'll be another opportunity.
And any of the ones that you have to book for, are they in high demand yet that people would need to...
Yes, I would say, you know, kind of have a look through the event guide as soon as you can and try and plan your day out. Also on the website, you can search by day, you can search by area to see what's going on there. So you can really kind of quite quickly get a handle on what's taking place. And like I said, if there's booking required, you can either book online or give... There's always contact details, either a phone number or an email address, where you can contact the organisers to organise your participation in that event.
Great. Joseph Gallagher, Heritage Officer with Donegal County Council, thank you so much for calling in this morning.